country. Hey, you volunteers, I want to thank you much for helping out. You guys did an amazing job, and I'm speaking to the ones that prayed firstly. It's not the ones that put their hand out. It's the ones that put their hands together, knees to the ground. Those are the most important people in the entire operation of the church, is the folks that pray. Is those that pray. And if you're not praying for your church, if you're not praying for the people there, please begin. Every one of us pray. Take some time to fast and pray and do that. Because I got to tell you something. I can tell the times when I've had health challenges when you guys have prayed for me. I can tell when you're praying right now. I mean, not like, oh, you know, Bob over there is not praying and Roberto over here is not praying. You know, it's kind of like that. What you can feel is when you're teaching. Daniel, have you felt that when people are praying when you've taught? Have you kind of felt that a little bit? You know something, when you're teaching, you can sense the Holy Spirit. You can tell when folks are praying. I don't know what it is. I mean, the Holy Spirit isn't operational by our prayer. We just get to join Him in His operation, you know, along the way. And so, I'm like I said, I'm super thankful about that. Thank you, Mary. I'm super thankful about that when you guys pray. Now, do you guys have volunteered and actually put your hands on the plow? Really thank you for that. Great job. Great job. Food was amazing. Music was good. The teaching was through the roof. The kids are radical and goofballs. I'll tell you what, man, the whole time I told Mary, I said, they're nothing but into fellowship. I said, we get up here and there's a puppet stage over here and the chairs are all aside and teaching tables on either side. And Molly's up here, you know, she's on vacation now visiting her aunt. And I'm up here talking with her and the kids are just yakking it up. And I mean yakking it up. And you know what? What I loved about it? We're like, okay, raindrops, watch this. Okay, on the count of three, do it with me, raindrops. Shh, like making the sound of rain. They're like, shh, we're talking here. You know, the little kids, right? And I loved it because that's the fellowship part. That's the fellowship part. Why are you still talking about VBS? That happened 3 days ago. Because we're still reflecting God's glory in it. Mary Lou likes to leave all the stuff up here, you know, for a week or two. We'll probably leave these big banners just to remind us who Emmanuel is and who the Messiah is and that He's still coming back. Because I think we forget. Or we live like we have never known, you know. So having that is a great time. And thank God for the kids. You know, there's some VBSs they charge for. Mostly they don't. You know, thank you guys that have donated. You donated your time, treasure, and talent. We appreciate it, you know, because it helps funds it. You know, we don't have a trash there. Hey, make sure if you got anything, thank you. Make sure if you have anything that you want to chat about, pray about, any of the above, pound it in there, DM us, and we'll get back with you. Anna, hi. I hope you guys are having a good day today. Thanks for handling all this stuff for us. Today, Bible study, empty nets, empty nets, I have dyslexia, to eternal purpose, we are called to His ways. That's the title of the message today. Kind of interesting. I was going to teach the whole book of, not the whole book, the whole chapter 5. I'm going to teach the whole book of Luke in 30 minutes. Chapter 5 here today. But, you know, the Lord was narrowing me down on that a little bit late last night and this morning. And I kind of appreciated it. I appreciated knowing that we have common ground with a lot of the characters in the Bible. You guys remember that the Bible is a book of stories. You know, it's got, is there demonic language in the Bible, yes or no? Yes, because demons are speaking and the Bible reveals that, right? We love that stuff. There's men talking. There's stuff that's led by the Holy Spirit that's going on. I love when Paul teaches because he says, this isn't from God. This is just a good saying. Have you heard some of that stuff? Does it bother you that it's not every single thing set aside? Look, dude, he's telling stories about Jesus. Before, that He's coming. He's here, that He's here. Holy Spirit, our time. And times to come, end times. All of it is there very clearly and succinctly. And I love that we get to see what's going to happen with Peter here in this first part of it. Let me ask you before we jump in. Have you ever been knee-deep in the daily grind? And then something comes into your world about God and changes your direction. Have you ever had that? I mean, you're sitting there crushing it with your work, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up and you're going a different direction. Or maybe you're part of somebody else's, one of your pals is going through something and you're a part of that experience, right? You've got that. Maybe it's a whisper from God. You just get this little whisper of things that are going to happen. And it stops you cold. It stops you in your tracks. Have you had that? Some of you may not have had that, and that's okay. It's not a marker of better, best, and any of that. It's just a marker of change, right? It's pointing you to a new path. We get those a lot. Before we developed this foundation of this church, we spent 8 years fasting and praying when God had said, go ahead and do. You know what we did when we heard about it? And then when we start actually engaged with the first Bible study? The same thing we'd been doing all along. We don't make changes like that. We still do what God has for us to do until he says, go. And he did. It's such a cool story, and you're not going to hear it today. What's it like when ordinary life happens and then it cracks wide open? Kind of scares you sometimes. Can be very challenging when change comes. It could be a change of a job. It could be a change of geography. It could be a change of church. It could be a change from being married but to the Lord to being married to the Lord with a partner, your spouse, your husband, or your wife. Peter's just a fisherman. He's just a dude trying to make money day to day, right? I love that. He's wrestling with empty nets. That's where we're going to find him. Wrestling with empty nests. Think about that. So here he, and he keeps wanting to say empty nest because, you know, we're that. So, sorry. Empty nets. He's wrestling with them. That means all of his humanity, all of the work that he has done, he is putting into empty. You understand that? You're going to see that kind of way through today. Everything that you've done and you get no results from it. That can mean that you're working your fanny off, right? Doing a job and it doesn't come through. You don't get paid for your effort. Whole different world, right? He's just a fisherman. And then a miracle flips it upside down. You know what that miracle is? A boatload of fish, right? Dude, that would be like you working your fanny off and nothing happens. No money comes your way and then all of a sudden there's a bank account full. I remember a story of one of the gals that when we started in a house of my best friend Jay, we buried him not too long ago. His wife still goes here as a board member. And his daughter, for the first 4 weeks, we wouldn't let anybody come in. You know, we wanted to let the four of us understand how the groundwork was going to come in. She brings in her husband at the time, and they're broke. They got a $35,000 payment that they got to make. They got no money, just nothing happened. They come in, we're talking about all of this, and they got nothing in the bank account, and they put their eyes on the Lord this week. They give their life to the Lord. The next week they come in, it was a Saturday night because we were still doing our get up at 5 and go to church at 6 and get everything set up for Sunday. So we're on a Saturday night. They come back the next week. The $35,000 has been paid off. They have money in their bank account. He got a raise. He was a military man that disability wasn't coming through, and he got back disability. And then he got a raise in his disability every day. Does that mean you're going to give your life to Jesus and things happen like that? Yeah, it does. Sometimes it does, if that's where he's meeting you, right? Sometimes if you're coming there for the gain of coin, then you're chasing after the coin, obviously. But they're just neat little stories, you know? And if you're part of that interruption in your life when a blessing comes to the full, it grabs your attention such that it demands your attention. It demands you focusing in on what that the Lord has for you, right? For 3 years, Peter's all in. Circa means around that. 3 years, he's all in with Jesus. All in with Jesus. Are you all in? Yeah, some of you are. Some of you aren't yet. That's okay. He's all in with Jesus. He sees the highs of the miracles Jesus does. He has the doubts. I think of the woman that was bleeding and just touched the hem and her bleeding stopped. They have doubts along the way. The truths that he has, you can see the truth. Listen, you can see the truths of Jesus written out in 1st and 2nd Peter. All those lessons of our bumbling Peter got spelled out in 1st and 2nd Peter. You want to hear Jesus' instruction? Start with that one. Try that one for a change in your life, right? And then the practical words of Jesus comes through Peter's penning. I love reading Peter. In fact, one of our wristbands says 2 Peter 3:9. It reminds us that God is not slack. He cares about people. He wants every single person to come to repentance, right? He doesn't want one single person to die. He has no desire for perish. But that long and suffering is probably longer than you want and suffering more than you would prefer as you're waiting on somebody. That's why we need Jesus to pull those things through. When Jesus is crucified, Peter's heart shatters. You know why? His last three statements. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. Jesus dies. Peter has this massive fail from his view. We'll see some adjustments in there later on. Let's go to Luke 5, 1 through 11, please. You got it on the board? We'll be in the NLT. We put it on the board for you just because we'll bounce around to different versions. You can use your own if you want. One day, as Jesus preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, crowds pressed into him to listen to the Word of God. Now, the Word of God, and we would probably put an S here, the words of God, but we know that Jesus is the Word, right? Okay, next slide, please. Thank you. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, and the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. They're done. Why are they washing their nets? There's nothing in there. They're cleaning out the debris that's in there. Please. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and talked to the crowds from there, made a command. Peter's like, who are you? You're in my boat. Didn't even ask. He's still there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let your nets down, let your nets to catch something. Do you think, see, they've been working all night. You understand? They just cleaned their nets. That means they're ready to stow them. The work is done. I'm done, dude. I'm totally done. Right? Please. Thank you. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, the nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. Hold on. Even though he's tired, the authority of Christ is still speaking. Obviously, the Holy Spirit is speaking. And we saw that. Can we go back for just 1 second, please? Thank you. But if you say so, I want you to look at this part here. But that means all of this other stuff is an instead. This is the rub. If you say so. This is a man that did not know the Christ as the Christ. He is saying, if you say so, I'll let the nets down. If you'll say so, I will do what I've already sweat my back over all night long. I will do what you say. If you say so, I will do the peculiar, and I don't know you from the next man on the street. Whatever authority is speaking to his heart, he succumbs right then and there. Thank you, please. A shout for help brought their partners to the other boat. And soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Do you understand what a blessing looks like that when you want sometimes to get your attention? Sometimes we need to have a truck beep, beep, blowing in here, bringing out tons of pudding. We've had God bring in a truck full of pudding. What are we going to do with pudding? Boom. Eat it. I remember a Mother's Day. We're sitting there, the gals are in all their little pretties, you know, and there's Mom's Day and yeehaw. Yeehaw means amen if you don't know. yee-haw, it's such a great time. Well, a guy comes over and said, we had a reefer truck. That's a refrigerator truck, not the Colorado side. We had a reefer truck, watch it. It had a reefer truck break down, that refrigerant break down. They have all of these big filleted chickens, right, like this, flat out, four per in these big things. They're already seasoned, ready to go, plump, beautiful. Do you remember how many chickens we had that day? I don't know. We filled up every freezer and had to send some packing. And here are these moms with this abundance of chicken coming in. You know, what are you going to do? And we put them in those little plastic liners that you put, you know, they're not food safe. The plastic liners that you put in the trash can, doubled them up, put them in there, stuck them in the, man, them things ate good. And we had people there hard with money. You know, we've seen these things kind of come through. What does this have to do with fish? Nothing. It's just a cool story. But sometimes he wants to get our attention just to let us know that he's still doing his thing. You mean God's going to take pudding and put it on your doorstep? I don't know the gal that brought it. Her name is now Puddin. We call, hey, Puddin, how you doing? I don't like being called Puddin. Sorry, sticks. Please. When Simon Peter realized that what had happened, he fell to his knees. You know what that means? He was floored. That's a term that's not used. Man, I was floored by that. When somebody says, I was floored by something, they couldn't even resist gravity. He was floored. He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, before he said, Master, this one, he said, oh, Lord, please leave me. Leave this up for a minute. Please leave me. I can't have you in my presence. I'm a sin-filled man. When you are faced, not with just a boatload of fish, when you're faced with the righteousness and the authority of God that can tell fish where to go, and they go, and you're stuck sitting there looking at that and go, who is this that met me in my great hour of need, my great hour of prayer, my great depth? I just needed that, right? Please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. I'm such a sinful woman. You guys ever had that where maybe you're so proud and you just locked your knees and I'm not going to drop to the floor or anything, and all of a sudden you feel your knees drop and you're on the floor praising the Lord? There's many a time he'll catch us like this, please. Thank you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish that he had caught. It was the number of fish. You know fishermen? They said, yeah, I went out fishing, right? And what they caught looked like bait, but they say it's this big. I was struck by the number of fish that he caught, as were the others with him. I'm like, dude, check out those fish. Check out all that chicken that came. What are we going to do with all this chicken? Pudding? We don't need no stinking pudding. Please. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, because he's not Peter yet, don't be afraid. Why would he say that? Because this guy has been on tempest-driven seas, and he's not seen this. Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be fishing for people. Right? Fishing for men. And that's a construct he has no idea. Please, next slide. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now leave that up there for a minute, if you don't mind. Have you left everything to follow him? And I mean everything. You're going to see something here in a minute that's kind of striking. We worked hard last night. Every labor we did in our own hands came up empty. You know what? Think about that. You walk in the door, you see your bride, whatever his bride's name, Peter's bride, and he has to go home and tell her, I didn't bring home the fish, we'd say bacon. I didn't bring home the bacon. Hope we got a little bit on the shelf. Debts are paid in full, more than likely. Anything he owed to Rome, more than likely paid. Who knows? But that bounty that was there, you got to think about that. Those boats are probably about as long as it is front to back in this room and about 15 feet wide. Twice filled with fish. And as soon as they landed, their first step was to leave it all behind. probably cashed it in, who knows. But they left it all behind. Do you understand the concept of that? That's leaving everything behind. When we started this church, we left our family behind. And my bride is number 9 of 13 children. Family is a lot to her. It's a lot to her. We left our kids at the other church. We left our family. Look, that church was kind of small. We helped plant it also. We were one marriage away from an Arkansas church. That's how close we were. If you don't know, that means there's a single tree and your uncle is your favorite dad, right? So left it all behind and told them, do not follow us unless the Holy Spirit says to do so. You want to know something? Not a one of them came, save one. Save one. He climbs into a boat he didn't have permission to do. He speaks in authority. He says, go out. I know your bones are sore. But he didn't tell them the little underverse, they're going to be super sore with all the fish you're going to get. I don't know what it's like to have to move that kind of fish. I had fish sticks last night, and I had 10 of them, and I felt bloated. So, yeah. Look, his wake-up call, his heart's pounding to launch into this God adventure. That's what's happening here. It would happen with you. When we started this church, it was the same way. It was not a popular separation. In fact, we did it in the cloak of night, so to speak. But let me tell you something. We didn't listen to mankind, men of God. We listened to Holy Spirit. And if men of God, brothers, leaders, whatever it is, did not line up with Holy Spirit, wasn't the same thing. And all of the people that we thought would be our board members did not come. And there was a bit of a unison of dialogue in that. So the Holy Spirit did not change. He didn't change when he knew in 2016 we would have 32 deaths doing a funeral every 5 days for 2.5 months straight. That's still that same Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit is we've now had 113 people pass forward. He's still here doing his thing. Do you understand? He's still changing your lives. He's still adapting you to nuance. If we would have not listened to the Holy Spirit and chose to listen to the men and women in our lives that were not listening to the Holy Spirit for that moment, we would not be here today. I fault them not. They just didn't know what we knew. It's okay. You have listen now. You got to be so resolved in at least taking that step that nothing else gets in your way. And man, I will tell you something. For me, I waited on the Lord, not for this, for until Mary. I heard something from Mary. It was just an affirmation along the way. And still, Lord, I'm like, what, when, how? This is probably a big thing for many people. Some of you may be just thinking, well, I need to leave my employee to go be XYZ for Jesus. You know, maybe you're in a highfalutin job and he wants you to be a greeter at Walmart. You know, not that Walmart's not a highfalutin job, but hi, hello, welcome to Walmart, here's your cart. You know, not much there. But if he wants you to be a brilliant light for Jesus doing that, then you need to do that. Do you understand? This isn't just for going out and doing something huge or big. Let me tell you something. Some of you making a change, it is big. Just, I don't know, changing clothes. Maybe. I don't know. But when you're making a change, just going from one job to another, it can be devastating because we like being in our comforted ruts, you know, which can also drown us out. Peter's, I'm a mess. I'm a man that's unclean. I'm a sinful man. I'm telling you, man, it turns from I'm a mess to I'm yours. God does that, man. He's got this way of street sweeping our debris out of the way. Look at Isaiah. Do I have Isaiah 6, 5, 8? Let's see if we got that. Let's see. Do we have that? Yes, no? Okay. Well, let me see here. Let's see if I can read this for you. Oh, do you have it? There you go. Then he says, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. Does that sound like Peter? This is what, 500 years before, whatever, 600? I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. That means that they spew hatred. They spew challenge and woe. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. He's seen the King, right? Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar. Where's it coming from? This is a vision. And with a pair of tongs, go ahead. He touched my lips with it and said, see, the coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Just to let you know, before we baptize people, we usually get a charcoal briquette, get it real fired up, and touch their lips with it. Don't worry, they're going in the water. It'll cool them down. No, I'm kidding. We don't do any of that. We don't do that. And then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to these people, to this people group? Who will go for us, Trinity? I said, here I am. Let that stale. Here I am. Send me. That's your vocal. That's the same thing. That's the man of the cloth, if you will, that's going on there. What is this hot coal purification? His lips. You know, he's spoken with unclean lips. Have you guys told sultry jokes? Maybe you have gossiped. Maybe you have scorned one of your family members or a friend. You know, oh, I've never done that. Well, did you do it in your heart? Okay, kind of about the same. Right? That's a purification. It's also that in that vision is a forgiveness piece. It's a forgiveness piece. You understand you're forgiven of your sins? Live like it. You're forgiven. Just live like it. Well, I fouled the other day. Well, he'll fill another boatload of fish to get you back on the right track. Confess it. Stop doing it. Quit being a goober. Get to the foot of the cross. Confess it. Get back on the good foot with the Lord. Dude, his mercies are new every day. Mercies are the plural. They're like legion. They come by the thousands. Why? Because you're going to need them. Commissioning. Okay, go out. Oh, he must be ready to do something. He's got seared lips. He's going to need some lycopene on that, you know, whatever. That coal signifies God's grace, right? And his initiative of redemption. He takes the initiative to redeem you. That's the coolest part ever. The net hit the ground when they left. They were fishing. The bounty came. The nets hit the ground. I'm out. I'm done. I know where I'm going now. Do you have that in your life? Where you have that firming thing? Or remember earlier when we talked about facets on a diamond? We have an area of our life that's not been cleaned up, and it's keeping you from suitability for the work. Right? Maybe you're entertaining thoughts you have no business entertaining that will disqualify you from the work until that time is either cleaned up or confessed. In Ephesians 3:20, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. He'll do stuff that's so far beyond you, bro, that you can't even begin to imagine this stuff. Let me tell you something. For me, I have a distaste for the mundane these days. I'm almost, if it isn't talking about Jesus, I just, it seems like my day is wasted. One guy said the other day, this last week, he said, well, you're a pastor, you should. Well, dude, I wasn't a pastor before. That's just a calling you put on my life. And I talked about Jesus all the time then. Anybody that knew me was like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus and rice, you know. Grilled cheeses. Let me tell you why I don't. Let me back up. You guys know who Musk is, right? Elon? You guys know who Steve Jobs is? Yes? No? Yeah? All right. So Steve Jobs is the dude that did the whole iPhone gig, right? And Elon Musk is the whole Rocket Man and other stuff, right? Not North Korea Rocket Man. But when they get into a conversation, that is not moving the needle, Steve Jobs non-politely would just walk away, and so will Musk, with a little more decorum. Because it's nonsensical and it doesn't move the needle. And it's unfortunate, and I think when I was bringing that up, Mary Lou says, you know, you're kind of like that. And it is. It's like, okay, if this is just foolish talk, like the Raiders are going to win the Super Bowl, it's just a waste of time because they're never going to do it. Sorry if that choked you up a little bit. Imply meant. The idea of living your life sold out for the Lord is unequivocal. There's nothing that matches it. There is nothing that matches it. People ask, would you pastor again if called? Don't know that I would if I know what I've gone through. And I don't know that I wouldn't if I known what I've gone through. And I would say, oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because the call of the Lord is irrevocable. The call of the Lord is so fulfilling in your lives. Some of you just need to make a minor adjustment. Some of you need to make a macro adjustment in your life. Some of you need to really focus on your motives versus his motives. I don't care if you're this age group or you're this age group or you're this age group. If you're fogging a mirror, you still have a need in the Lord's hand. I've always said, man, if I make it to an old folks home, I'm going to have my little tennis balls. I may have four of them on my little cart. You know about Jesus? And I'll have that voice too. Afterwards, the cross. Jesus is, from Peter's view, dead. And his echoings are those last three sessions. I'm not his, I'm not his, I'm not his. Right? I'm going fishing. Do you have John 21, 1 through 3? Yes, no? Bring it. Later, Jesus appeared to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. So this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael. Nathanael. Hey. From Cana and Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples. Why weren't they named? Doesn't matter. Next. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. Dude, you just spent 3 years with Jesus. You saw 5,000 men getting fed, let alone the women. And if their average family was 5 or 6, that's a lot more than 5,000. You just saw bread and fish. You walked on water. Oh, you got out of the boat again. You did it at the first fish. You did it then. And now you're going to go back to something that you failed at before. The last time you tried anything of worldliness, it failed. And you were sitting there cleaning nets that had no fish in them. And he leads. This is his leadership skills. I'm going fishing too. And they all said, we're coming along. Peter's an amazing leader. You may not look, he is characterized as a bit of a bumbling fool. And I look at him more as somebody that, yeah, he makes mistakes, but leaders do. It's easy to be in the rear with the gear and not make a mistake and keep things super simple. But sticking your neck on the block a few times, yeah, to get chopped, they all said so. So they went out into the boat, all of them. But they caught nothing. How long? Say it. All night long. They did nothing. They caught nothing all night. Right? At dawn. What time is it? You know that loud rumbling sound that happens every morning? Called the crack of dawn? Right? Caught nothing. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach. But the disciples couldn't see who he was. I don't know if he's too far or just didn't know. He called out, fellas, or in Southern, it'd be fellers. You may need to learn that. Fellers, F-E-L-L-E-R-S. Fellers, have you caught any fish? No. They're not very good fishermen because they don't know how to lie, right? No, they replied, plural. No, 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 no. Please. Then he said, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat. In God world, what's the right hand? Power hand. Throw it out on the right side, and you'll get some. What kind of guy do you think you are? So they did, though. They did. And they couldn't haul in because there was so many fish. Hold. 3 years ago, you couldn't catch fish and you got an abundance, 2 boats full. And then you met Jesus because of the abundant miracles and just the, whatever the Holy Spirit did to him. It's not written, it's an imply. You step out of the boat. You're trucking with Jesus along the way. You fed 5 grand. He sends you out at the night. It's 3 in the morning. And he comes walking on the water. And they're like, they said, it's a ghost. You know what the word ghost means? It's apparition. The word apparition means a bringer of light. I love that. They call him a ghost. I'm going, he's a bringer of light. And you see him walking on the water, bro. And you get out of the boat. And where's everybody else? Still in the boat. And he gets out there and he walks with Jesus. He's got his eyes on Jesus. And as soon as he turns around to have a tempest, there's no lights, there's no anchor, there's no lifeboat, there's no coast guard. And the water's big. And he looks around after he gets his eyes off Jesus, glug, glug, and he gets rebuked, right? So they did. They couldn't even haul the net because there's so many fish in it. They're back to, I got to go back to me. Doing things. No, you don't have to go back to, not me, Dave, but you, meaning the me in the application. You don't go back to me. You go back to thee, right? Please, the next slide. So many fish in it. How many fish sticks was that? I don't know. Then the disciple Jesus, who's that, John, right? Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon heard that it was the Lord, it wasn't 3 nicks, it was 2. He put on his coat. He put on his coat. He took it off so he could work. He put on his coat. And what did he do? Don't change this yet. He jumped into the water, or some say stepped out of the water, and he headed for shore. Bro, that is single-minded focus. Let me tell you something. You got, again, another boatload of fish. 153. Why? Because a fisherman counted. We'll leave it at that. There's others. Not for today. That tunic, that represents the entirety of his ownership of things. He didn't put the boat on his back or oars or nets or sails under his arm. He didn't bring in coins from anywhere. He got out of the water. He saw the man that was there. It came through. The last thing he said, I didn't, I wasn't, I'm not part of them. Leave me alone. The first action he recognized, thank God for a brother like John. That's why your brotherhood matters. Thank God for a brotherhood like John to say, bro, JC's on the dock. Whew, boom, coat, wool, scratchy, water, heavy, sink. Clear? He did not care about world stuff. It's done. That stuff for him, it is finished. He jumped into the water. He jumped into his life forward. And his life truly from this point is never the same. This is a second jumping. The first was a bit of a rube, not knowing what's going on. This one here is fully educated from the stuff the Lord has to say. Not just the fullness of Scripture, the fullness of activity. And he goes towards that. Next slide, please. The other stayed with the boat. Dang. Somebody's got to bring the fish in. I get it. Yeah, but not that many. Yet again, the other stayed in the... Do you see the leadership model? He'll step in when others won't. He did on the water when he's walking on the water and glug, glug. He failed. And you can say, oh, he failed. You may want to read Teddy Roosevelt's thing on picking on somebody that's in the arena of activity And you're picking on the guy for all the things he never did or should have done or the woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, bro, but you're not even in the arena. Shut it. It's more eloquent than that, but I'm just giving you the nutshell. The other stayed in the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore. Great. For they're only about 100 yards from shore. That's a football field, right? Please. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish sticks. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire. How did Jesus get that fish? I don't know. He filled a boat. I think he can handle it. Do you? Okay, good. Next. They had a fish fry. Bring some of the fish you just caught, right? And some bread. Go. So Simon Peter went aboard, dragged the net to the shore, and there were 153 large fish. And yet the net hadn't torn. Remember the first one? Yeah. Okay, please. Please. Thank you. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them bread and fish. Right? Please. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. Please. You know, Peter's still carrying that burden. Some of you are still carrying a burden when you flipped off Jesus and wanted to leave it as such. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Do you love me with a God-like love? Do you agape me? He says, yes, Lord, I phileo you, which is a friendship type of thing. Feed my lambs. That's what you do. You feed the flock that's around you. You have kids. You have others. You have neighbors. You have workers. You feed. Jesus told him, feed my lambs, please. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you twice. Then take care of my sheep. Feed them. Groom them. Right? Clean out their toenails. Get them from cash. Stand them up straight. Right? Please. At the third time he asked, Simon, son of Jonah, Peter's like hurt that the why do you keep asking me this? Because I'm stamping cancel paid for on the three denials. You fill in the blank. That's just a simple illustration. Peter hurt the question. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And what did Jesus say? Then feed. That little beachside grill session had more to do with where he was going than where he had been. And that's what's happening with y'all. He's taking you to where you're going versus where you've been. You know, the people that don't love Jesus or people that are nominal in their faith point about your past and put a concern to your past. Let me tell you something. Holy Spirit changes that past. All he cares about is today forward. You saw the prodigal. We're not going to roll it. The prodigal, he kept looking on the hillside for his son to come back. He wanted him back. He had a signet ring. He gave him a debit card. He wanted to clothe him and put on new sandals and have a BBQ for that fella. And he did. But he had his eyes on that horizon. Same with y'all. You're looking for those that are lost. You're looking for those that are wayward. He gets restored on that comeback. That's the part I like. His fishing is done, Sandlot style, forever. He'll never go back to fishing. He's not going back to that old life. Brothers and sisters, you can't go back to your old life. Oh, you may be Paul building tents, RVs, whatever you want to call them for today. You may be Paul building tents, but doing the work of the Lord, totally chill. But the idea of this is that Paul did that so he wouldn't be a burden on the church, and he had other employ. What ship do you need to burn that you can't get back on? Peter's coat's all he's got. He's got just enough for the call of Christ. Mary and I, before I met Mary Lou, my whole life could fit in my military duffel bag. My whole life now will fill into a good-sized Mayflower truck. And guess what? few years back, Mary and I were in our master bathroom looking at each other eye to eye when we were looking at a lot of financial woes and challenges, and just life about us was kind of falling apart. And we looked directly in each other's eyes and said, there's two non-negotiables: our independent walk with Jesus and our relationship with one another. Everything else is negotiable. Do you understand how that works? Men, do you understand how that works? Women, do you understand how that works? Nod your head online if you know how that works. See the camera move? Jesus is telling you he's still your God. That has not changed. I love how Peter leaps. He doesn't just kind of go, well, I got to go serve Jesus today. He leapt into his future because he had spent time with him in the present. That ultimate launch is incredible beyond belief. Wrap it up. The story of Peter isn't just our history lesson. It's us right now. These lessons we get to grow and go. You know how it is. If you're the oldest, you got to chart the waters. If you're the youngest, you learn, I ain't doing what he did. He got whacked in the head for that, right? See, you got the easy way out. Your whole hum life will stay whole hum as long as you allow it. But like I said, if you're still fogging a mirror, you still have work to do. Maybe the Spirit is tugging on you a little bit for a first time. Maybe it's for a renewed time. That Spirit's tugging, saying, look, there's more. Maybe you've been like Peter, where you backslid to fishing. And he's going, hey, look, there's more. I'm going to fill your boat, but you're not going to take it with you. I just want to show you that I have the ability to take care of you in the things that you know to be fulfilling and financially handled. He's going to fill them with his dreams, not yours. And in the midst of his dreams will become your desires. And then you'll be doing the desires of your life being fulfilled because he's already put it on your heart. Look, pour out your heart in prayer this week. Pour out your heart in prayer this week. Ask Jesus to flood one of the empty corners of your life with his abundance. Ask him to flood you out, to wash you out from where you were before. That's critical mass. Because in that prayer, he's still going to let you have the freedom to do what you want to do. He's going to bless you through it. But having that prayer in time, listen, it'll line you up with what he's got lined up for you. Get real with your backslides and your backside. Get real with your backslides. Name that old habit. Name it and get rid of it. Maybe you're slacking off with your duty to your family. Maybe you're watching too many YouTube slides, reels, whatever, thousandfold to take your time. Maybe your gaming is overboard. Maybe those are things that you need to leave behind, move on. Seal one thing as done forever. Seal it. When he got out of that boat on the recovery mission, he sealed his future. He said, I'm done. I take my coat. I'm done with this. The door is closed. Seal that. Write it down. Pray it. Tell someone. Commit to leaving it behind. Commit to that, leaving it behind. Grip your coat tightly. Grip that calling that he's got on you tightly. That's your spiritual anchor. Maybe it's the vision he's given you and you cast it. Maybe there's a verse or a song that God is allowing you to transitionally work from where you are to that next step. Maybe you just stepped into a new job and you feel a bit hesitant to speak about Christ because you're afraid to lose the employee. But you know the Lord is wanting you to speak of him. Be bold like Peter. Reach out this week and love somebody. fella came in here today. I think he left. Yeah. You know how I met that fella? I met him yesterday. I'm getting out of my car, backing up into the little convenience store. I never park in this area. But there's this really wicked-looking ride. It'd be like a golf cart with lift, you know. There's these two chicks in there, and she was some gal doing open house, and she was getting water bottles to take care of all her open house people. And I'm backing in her because I'm going to go get me a couple of $1.87 burritos for Mary and I. They're nice-sized burritos. I park the car. I see some guy walking out of the corner here, and I'm, you know, getting my stuff, putting myself together before I open the door, and I'm looking over at that wheel, and all of a sudden I see this guy stumbling. He's running into things, right? And I'm out of the car, and I'm like, man, this guy's not alcohol. And I go over to him, and he stumbles into my arms. And this lady's like, she's looking at me, is the guy drunk? Is he going to die? He can't breathe. He can't breathe. Do you understand that if you don't breathe, you don't live? Do we kind of got that together? Are we on the same page? Oxygen works, and you didn't even have to think it up. It just works. He stumbled. I can't breathe. So I'm like, oh, there's this other guy with his son. He opens the door, and I says, put him in the side. They can't open the child. I must have hit the child lock. And the guy just opens the door. Doesn't even be asked. Hits the child lock. Open the door. We put him in the back seat of the car. When he fell into my arms, I'm like, you're safe. I said, my name is Dave. I love you. Dude, I'm from Texas. You grab a stranger and you hold him in your arms and tell him you love him, it gets kind of weird. You're safe. I love you. Because he doesn't know where he's at. Safe landing spot. We walk him over to the car. He can't get in the car. We lift his leg and get him in the car, and he sits back in the car, and I said, breathe. And he goes, no. You got to breathe like a human, not a dog. Dogs go, they don't need a lot of, when they go faster, they get long tongue, you know, and then they sit and sweat until they dry out or whatever they do, humidity. We breathe in through our nose first, out through our mouth. I said, brother, breathe through your nose. No, breathe through your nose. You're creating a 2 to 3 second nitric oxide that's opened up the vasculature in your system. God planned all of that. And all you got to do is breathe right, not the strips. And so he's there, and he says, this is hard. I said, because for 82 years you've gone, not, right? So he starts breathing, and we're trying to get him gassed up. He couldn't figure it out. We just gassed him up, said, look, why don't we park your car? I'll drive you home. No, he says, take money. You can't fill up my tank. I'm like, no, bro, you can't do that to me. Your money's no good here. Yeah, it works. I was like, no, bro, I'm a man of God. Don't work. It ain't happening. You can do whatever you want. You can drop coins in my truck. I'll throw them out. It's that simple. Don't cheat me out of a blessing. So we get done, and we drive around, and I'm talking to him a little bit and just talking about Jesus. He says, man, I'm a Christian. I was like, great. Me too. And I said, I love you. I love you. Told him multiple times I love him. Do you understand? Everybody gets an A+. Bless you. Did you sneeze? Oh, welcome back. Do you know what that is? You know why they say God bless you? German custom, when you sneeze, they thought your soul went out of you. And then when you breathed again, it came back. So welcome back. If it holds up. So I drive him around to his truck. You know, and we waddle him in there, and I get him in there, and I probably told him I loved him 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12, I don't know. I lost count. And I follow him back. And by the way, his color was splotchy, and his color came back. You saw him today, some of you guys, Don. He looks good, you know. And I let him know. I said, if you go to church, yeah, I got a church I go to. I said, great. And I said, ours is Outpost. I said, I get the pleasure of pastoring that church. You're a pastor? And I was like, yep, guess so. I don't pull that card often. I wished I didn't there. I was telling brother that earlier. But you know what? It worked for him at that time. We got him home, and he got out of the car, and he kind of leapt out of his car. He lives 4 blocks from my house. And he's got this long, long driveway going up. And I get up behind him. I whoop around because I see him taking off to it. And I'm like, dude, I saw you drive home. You know, he's injured. And we walk him up the aisle. I put my hand behind him, still giving him his pride, you know, respecting him and ready to catch him if he goes down. He's going to be a big catch, but it'll be a good one. And I walk him up, got a picture of him. And he said, "Man, I learned something new." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I learned how to breathe." Anybody tells me you can't teach an old dog new tricks, you haven't tried hard enough. Well, he says, "Well, I'm going to come to church." I'm like, "Good, glad you did." He's going in for heart surgery tomorrow. We're going to pray on him, but that changed, you know. And I found out, I know right where he lives. I'm going to drive up to his house. I'm going to bother him like nobody's business. And I'm going to love him like nobody's business. I'm going to care over him until he no longer, or I hear no longer to care for him. Why are you talking about these stories, David? So you can see what everyday life with Jesus looks like. And you act like it, and you dial into it. Don't worry about how much money's in your account or not. If God, you've got $75 in your account, and God says, "I want you to take that $75 and help this fella out." Wives, I'm sorry, but do it. Husbands, I'm sorry, but you got to do it. Because you need to be found faithfully listening to the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Is this hard to hear for you today? Is it hard for you to look at Peter's life and see the abundance? And maybe it's hard for you to make that decision to change over and take over that next step. It's all right. I understand it. Do something about it. Either run away or run towards him. And I would submit the latter. Before we pray, I want to ask you, what did God show you today? Some of you took your notes. What did he show you today? If you're not sure, practice Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, what did I hear today? Go. Anybody. Go.
Have faith in him. Keep my eyes on him. Because the minute, you know, I take my eyes off of him, you know, I can sink down, you know.
Yeah. That's what I mean. You want to sink down? You want a boogie board, don't you? Yeah. Paul did that. What did God show you, Daniel? Mm-hmm.
Because you're not looking at Jesus. Jesus has a blessing for you.
Regularly.
The next one is that if you want to take that blessing, you have to remember that, one, Jesus knew you before he put you in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Before you were born, or any of that. And he's telling you, wherever you are out there, to put out your net on the other side. Number three is don't be afraid. You're willing to take on that blessing. Don't be afraid for what's next. From now on, you'll be catching people.
You know, the fear is a good thing, though, in this sense. It heightens your senses. All it does is cause you to fall. It's an emotion that God made. You letting it get out of hand is you. Him using it for you to narrow your focus is him. You know. I have fear, I have trepidation, we all do from time to time. And I remind myself, watch this. This equals like 100% worry. Of all the things we worry about, only one thing will actually be worry. The other nine will never ever happen, ever. So when you come in that fear with that, different outcome. What did God show y'all today? You and Fanny. I'm having fun. I'm not going to do that to him until I see him the first time. Go ahead.
I learned today that you are still a good teacher.
Thank you.
Your sense of humor hasn't changed.
Thank you.
I learned a lot about your word, too, about God's word. But, yeah, I'm just amazed. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you again for the art. So his last name is Z-A-R-T, Al Zart. No, it's Al Fortier or Fortier, depending on how you pronounce it, French or English. But he was looking for a name, and I was like, "Why don't you call it Al Zart?" And he said, "Well, somebody's already got that name." I said, "Well, then put a Z in front of it, Al Zart." Are you still doing artwork? Or? Oh, it saddens me. Not guilty-wise, it's just your artwork, your art form is really good. I'll show you a couple other pieces as time goes on. Over here, what has God shown you? Anybody? Samantha, what has God shown you? Real loud, baby, because I know you're soft-spoken. Ooh. Go ahead. Empty. Did you guys hear that? Empty nets are equivalent to empty life. Love that. I love it all, by the way. Go ahead. Was that it, or did you? That's empty life. Not living out God's purpose for your life. Empty life. Dude, you should have taught. Empty nets equal empty life. Brother man, hey, shoe. Welcome back. Are we going to call you a shoe?
Sure.
Okay. You're your father's son, aren't you? Go ahead, brother. Speak real loud.
It doesn't matter who you are. God has a plan.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? You know, we've said it before, I'll remind. A lot of folks really get all balled up over what God's will for my life is. What's God's will for my life? Dude, watch. Make it simple. Just observe wherever he's working. Join him where he's working. You'll be in fulfillment of his will. It's that simple. It really is that simple. You may have various callings, seasons of callings on your life. That's fine. But let me tell you something. The simpler that he makes it is the simpler that we should take it. And the simplicity is, if you see God working somewhere, boom, I love you, brother. Here, sit down. Can I give you some water? No, I can't take it. Don't rob me of blessing you. Do you see, that was just yesterday. We don't even know what's going to happen today, do we?
Nope.
Don't call me Dewey, right? Are you guys here next week, or is this our only week with you? Okay. So, this family has a call on their life. We just met this week because of this beautiful young man here. They got to come to VBS. And the rest of you are beautiful, too, just so you don't feel like you're getting separated out. I just know him 4 days longer than you, right? And we met day two, and we set out at the car and just talked about future. And I, you know, invited him here, and Ashley had already told me that, or I'd heard from her through that they were heading to the mother country, because you know, when you live your life for Jesus, you give your life to Jesus, you live for him. When you die, you go to Texas. So just so we're clear. And they're dying soon. No, they're going to Norte, Texas, Norte, Dallas, in that area. Does that sound right? Okay. They have no idea what they're doing, right? Close to it? Kind of have an idea or have no clue?
I have no idea what God's leading us to.
Close. That's better said than I did. And so what I'd like to do next week, if it's okay, I'd like to set aside some time, and we'll have Ashley, like you here, and we'll have the women pray for you. Daniel, we'll have them, and you girls with mom, you boys with dad, and we'll pray for, and then we'll pray for you as a family unit. And I want you, listen. I want you to be praying for this. Take a look at them. Burn it in your heart. Take your camera, take a picture. Don't post it. They're kids. Get a picture of them in your mind's eye, and I want you to pray for them, because let me tell you something. Tell me when you're listening. The rest of your life, you will never be able to forget them, because the Holy Spirit throughout your life. Now, these kids won't be cute and small. They'll be like, you know, the boys, right? They'll grow. The girls will become women. But pray for them. Listen, you know when you stop praying? Whoever stops fogging a mirror first. So if you're alive, you're going to be praying for this family. You know why? Because they're family. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, we thank you so much. Thank you for the boatloads of grace, Lord. Thank you for the boatloads of our future. Thank you for restoring our crashes, our shipwrecks of life by your mercy. Thank you for launching us to fish for men and women. Father, show us what we have to leave behind. Our coat in hand, what's left behind. We trust you with next steps, Lord. What to leave, what to take, where to run or where to go. make our hearts, our mind as all in, never turning back. In Jesus' name, everybody said, and all the country folks said, yeehaw. All right, y'all, we'll catch you the next time. Hey, online, we love you deep, deep. We're so glad you're here. If you guys have any questions whatsoever, just direct message.